Okay, it's working for me. It mustn't have liked Andre earlier. And if we could just switch over to my machine, please, that would be great. Thank you. So, I mean, that was I think that was a great conversation from Andre on the modern data center and the platform and how that can be used to support what's happening in your institution. I just wanted to now, for the next section, come back up a couple of levels and talk about the potential applications of some of these technologies in your institution. And I will show you some of them, as I promised. I think seeing some of this is believing. So the two areas I'll cover off are improving outcomes with insights and managing the institution. And I'll start around when we talk about improving outcomes. I mean, there's many things you could do in this area. And I think a lot of people's heads immediately go to, that's business intelligence, or it's BI, or it's reporting, or it's dashboards. Probably most of you have had a project of a similar nature come across your desk over the past 2 years. But inevitably, people want to make better decisions. And one way to do that is to have information. And we now have this overload of information and data, big data, all those things. But what can we do with that information? And we definitely have commercial organizations that are looking to monetize that. Okay, marketing organizations, what they know about a person and how they can market to that person is massive. But there's three areas here, sort of key scenarios. I will do a demonstration of two of them. One is around providing personalized learning. How do you understand what a student needs at a certain point in time to provide the learning they need? How do you look at improving student retention or improving student success? And the other one is managing teacher and lecturer effectiveness. But again, this is that imagine if we could resolve these challenges by giving your stakeholders data. You'll have different people in your organization that want different types of data. One report will not solve all their problems. But you want to be secure about your information. You don't want to be giving everybody everything. And you want some controls. When you talk about a student grade, you want to be able to define centrally what that grade is. Is it their result in one exam? Is it the average of results across a number of exams? How is it weighted? These are sorts of things that are very critical and need managing centrally, but you need to provide that access to the people who want to make those decisions with that information. And again, these are a few other areas just for the sake of covering off what could potentially be done. Other areas you could make improvements with insights. We talk about optimizing your institution. The majority of these are around optimizing the institution. Okay, whether it's the cafeteria, how effective your teachers are. The very common one amongst universities is, where does your student population come from? Where should you be spending your marketing dollar? Which courses do I offer that have the least students dropping out? Or which courses do I offer that have the most inquiries that make me most relevant in the industry? If you can get insights and start predicting some of these things that are happening, you can very quickly adapt to the market. Again, your generations are changing every 6 years. You're offering a 3 to 4 year course. How do you get ahead of that and adapt? I spoke to a university in the region who said to me, it used to be a 10-year cycle from seeing a demand in the market to offer a course, to us being certified to offer that course, developing the courseware and having people graduate. They want to move that to 6 months. They want to be able to identify a need for a course, and the example they gave me was media production. They identified that there was a need for students with media production skills, and they want to be able to offer that course in 6 months' time. They want graduates coming out with some qualification in that area. Now, there's the quality versus quantity conversation here, but what they were doing was identifying the need, facilitating another educator who already had the content and the expertise to come in and teach that through their facility. They added it to courses they already had. So it was a great example of really adapting to the needs of the market. They could only do this by having information and data. Now, the key here is, you're not going to have all of that information. You will know a whole lot about your institution. You'll potentially know a lot about your students. Okay, I'll show you an example in a moment where we talk about the different information about students. They're used as indicators in making a decision. But you're not to know what indicators are going to help you make a decision. What are the influencing factors on these sorts of things? So we want to help you with our platform to find different types of data, combine it and manage it. There's examples where information is taken from publicly available websites. Maybe it's taken from your back office application. Maybe it's taken from your enrollment system, from your student system. It could be demographic data or health data that comes from completely different areas. Census data. How can you take this information, easily combine it, and then visualize it? Visualization is something that really helps our stakeholders make decisions or determine insights. I'm not a numbers person. I can't look at a spreadsheet and see a trend. But if we can very quickly, just as easily visualize that information, we can make better decisions. And I'll show you some of those examples in a moment. We talk about those being, that's where the dashboarding concept comes from. Give me my key performance indicators on a dashboard. How is that relevant for us in education? And then obviously you then want to take action and operationalize. You want to do something about that, what you've predicted or foreseen.
Robert. So I find this interesting. So we can really find numerous sources of data and combine it. Our own internal data and data from social media?
Yes.
You're saying that? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's a, and that social media could be a source of, we want to do sentiment analysis. Yeah.
Can you, back to the previous slide. I see there's a Facebook, LinkedIn. Yeah, so we can combine all those data together.
Yeah, we obviously, privacy is still applied. You can't automatically access your student's Facebook profile.
But unless it's open, of course.
Unless it's open, that's right. So that privacy is still maintained. But think about that from a sentiment analysis. It's around enrollment time. The new age student is researching universities. They want to know which university they want to go to. There will become a time when students just, at the moment they approach you as a university, they probably approach a number of your fellow universities in the area. And they'll look to go through the application process. There could be a time when a student tweets, I want to do this course, and universities will proactively respond. If universities aren't proactively respond, I'm certain that private institutions are responding, private educational firms are responding. My LinkedIn profile is full of offers to do an MBA, full of offers to go and do a 12-month course. Okay, the education offers are coming to me now. Now, if you can understand the market and understand what's happening on these social media sites, you can be doing the same sort of thing.
So, yeah, we are analyzing data from various sources. Correct. And it's not only our own data that we have in our institution, but from the social media. We combine the data and analyze it, and we take action based on that. Like Robert said, what if there are students that want some subjects that are not available currently, or what if they have some feedbacks on our organization, on our teachers, and we want to respond it quick to maintain our students, to have a good graduation rates, to have a smaller dropout rates, and then increase our rank of institution, right?
Spot on, exactly. So I just wanted to level set for a moment here. I mentioned some of the buzzwords or the words that are used in the industry when we talk about data. Very much traditional BI versus advanced analytics. The difference between really what happened and maybe why it happened, a bit of a report card perspective on things. I think if we take a student, I'll use me as an example. And I can be harsh on myself, so it's okay. But as a student, if the measure you're trying to predict here is student grades or student success, if you look at a student over time, hope that's not me. If you look at a student over time, they would move, you look at their grades. If grades were the sole indicator you have, I know myself, at a certain stage, I wasn't doing my homework. I wasn't doing the study. I had some natural ability in the area I was studying. So my grades were fine. All of a sudden, one day, the courseware, the content, it outgrew my natural ability. But I wasn't studying. I hadn't built the foundations of knowledge. so my grades dropped. But if I predicted based on grades alone, nobody would have seen that coming. If you look to predict based on maybe grades and also student attendance and whether the student's logging into the learning management system and consuming the content, you very quickly get earlier indicators as to whether that student will be successful or not. And that was a big one for myself. And I think there's a lot of students out there like that. And that's just an example of how different influencing factors that you may not realize make have an effect. But once we've predicted something's going to happen, or we understood what did happen, we wanted to predict, we now want to predict with more indicators, how do we do something about that? It's no good just saying, that student's not going to be successful, I'll go and get another student. Okay, it's that student is not going to be successful, and with the limited resources I have at my disposal, how can I help that student become successful? And in a few minutes' time, I'll show you a demonstration of how we did this with a customer using the data platform. And then if we look up on the right, these are more buzzwords, and we're guilty at Microsoft of introducing and maintaining some of these. But it's advanced analytics, it's big data, it's Internet of Things, it's machine learning. What I want to show you is how all of those elements can come together to give you something that's relevant. So if we start, I'll start with the personalized learning piece. This is the concept of, I spoke about the 10-year cycle that's down to 6 months, but if we look at a student, the cycle of defining the goals for that student, then designing the learning for that, then facilitating the learning, followed by measurement, assessing and evaluation. That's a cycle. I think traditionally in a school, that's a 12-month cycle, or longer when you take into the designing. But a student starts day one, they graduate at the end of the year or pass that grade, we assess them, they move on or they fail. Nobody determines whether a student actually required intervention earlier in the year. It could have been week two that they missed a concept, didn't scaffold their learning, and therefore weren't successful in that course. As we talk about putting technology in the classroom, in lecture halls, in people's hands, using more and more technology, what insights can we glean? Once we have those insights, how do we possibly process that information and make some decisions? So with that, I'm going to show you a quick demonstration of what this could look like. So this is what could be your portal. This is a portal that students access. This is a web page, and very quickly you'll see I'm just logging in. No username and password, I'm logging in with my student, with my Office 365 credentials, that one identity concept. Now for this, I'm going to be Mrs. Smith. I'm an elementary school teacher. This is a portal that the school has built that shows various information. But let's just zoom in. So one of the things I can see is down here. Our analytics suite has determined that I have students below target. Two students below target in fractions. A core concept in mathematics. I'm a maths teacher. Okay. What do I want to do about that? I'm a busy teacher. I'm going to go over here and have a look at the numbers and fractions. And what I can do here, we've surfaced the student information to the teacher. Out of my teachers with visual representations, I can quickly see Manisha. Look, she's ahead on her learning. The green bar says she's ahead, but I've been given an orange indicator. She may be ahead on the holistic learning, but maybe not in some areas underneath that. At the same time, I can see Selena down the bottom, red indicator. She's behind. Now, me as a teacher, I probably have 10 classes like this. There could be 30 students in every class. There could be hundreds as a lecturer. How do I make personalized learning decisions? How do I know what to do for these students? And how do I, as an institution, ensure we're providing the same level of teaching quality across all teachers? So what I want to do here is I'm going to click on Selena. Sorry, I'll click on Manisha. I see my alerts. I can see there's recommendations available. So I'll go into a profile. And I'll click up. And what I see in this profile, just to show you, is her overall progress is good. Sorry, her progress for a standard is good. but the overall progress from maths is very good. Okay, I now have a student that is accelerating. What do I do for them? Do I want a student that's bored in class, or potentially a student that could reach potential that they're not reaching? I have this problem with my daughter at the moment. She's 4 years old. She's a child genius. But I can see teachers just saying, I need to put you in the corner, entertain yourself so I can entertain other students. From a university perspective, how do I encourage that student to go on and do further study? Don't just do your degree. Don't get bored. Don't disengage. So what I do here is I have a look at the recommendations. On the left here, you'll see that I've been given a number of pieces of content. It's recommended that I give this content to this student because of where they are. So using our machine learning platform, we've been able to determine where Manisha is, what pieces of content have made other students more successful in that area, or even identified, yes, she's ahead, but there's some underlying issues. How do I help address those issues? And I can very quickly here just give add that content to the learning plan. You'll see, and I add it to a student plan. Done. So in the interest of time, I won't continue, but we could do the same for Selena, who is struggling. Now again, we're using an online platform here, so immediately the student can go and access that information. I've now got content as part of a learning plan. I mean, as a student, if I'm the student that gets bored and I'm ahead and I want more homework, I want more classwork, I can continue ahead. If I'm the student that's behind, I now understand very tactically what I need to do to help me progress. If you think about where this could potentially go, we could be identifying that a student has a weakness with, that they have a reading issue. They may be reading at a level that's not to where they're studying. So let's not give them more and more written problems in mathematics. Let's help them with their reading, but give them non-written problems. Help them understand the same concept so we can help that student progress. I want to jump onto another scenario. This is a case study that we've done with Tacoma School District in Seattle. And I'm sure if any of you have kept up with the news around the US education system, they have a serious dropout problem. Students not graduating college, students not graduating university. The problem is on the effectiveness and the drain, potential drain on society that causes with welfare and unemployment. Around that, you have a student debt problem. We talk about this in terms of dropouts, but it's probably student success is the way I like to frame that. Students are graduating, but they're not getting jobs. Are the students employable? Are the jobs they're graduating, are the jobs that they want to be there when they're graduating there? We don't know. But this is a serious problem. We all say it's great to be on the front of Time magazine, not for this reason. So Tacoma Schools District was at the extreme of this. Their graduation rate was 50%. 50% of their students did not graduate. Again, in terms of unsuccessful students. What I will show you here is a bit of a view of the data they used, the platform they used, and they transformed this to an 80% graduation rate. They've done that and they're now looking to extend the program to do more. Now, it's not as if the district didn't have strategies in place. They knew they had a problem. And they also had these intervention strategies. These were programs they were running across the district. The four of them were opportunities for after-school learning, or after-school activities, alternative schooling, either moving them to another school or giving them a different type of schooling. They may have been online, they needed to be face-to-face, or vice versa, depending on their location. They had mentoring and tutoring programs, and they had service learning programs. They had customized programs. So they'd done a whole lot of studies around these things work for students. They just didn't necessarily know which one to apply to a student. And I think that's a pretty common thing if you've got an educator or a teacher walking into a classroom. They don't necessarily know what every student needs. So I'm going to give you a quick look at what we developed in conjunction with Tacoma Schools District to help them combat their problem. So this is an example of one of the dashboards we gave them. And I will dive into each one of to some of these as they're relevant, but kind of see this split a couple of ways. Across the top is the view of student status and progress. Across the bottom is the view of student dropouts, students requiring intervention. And for the purposes of demonstrating multiple personas, the first column is the teacher's view of the world. This is what a teacher cares about at a classroom or a cohort level. The middle one is the principal status. This is what they care about across their entire institution. The third one is the superintendent or CIO. They're looking at that at a macro level. Everybody wants a different view of the world. Everybody has different indicators and things they want to understand. What we're using here is Power BI. It's simply being used as a tool to provide the dashboards. Nothing more. We can use, and you'll see more later on, this could be published as an application. It could be published on your website. It could be published to a mobile. You can pull all this information out. Power BI is just the visualization tool, which we really like. I'm going to have a look here. I'm drilling down on the student progress piece. What you're going to see here is on the left-hand axis, these are the weeks of progress that we want from a student. 10-week term. Along the bottom, you'll see student names. What we've very quickly done is given the educator a view that says, this is the progress all of my students have made on this specific piece of content or my course, from a visual perspective. The blue and purple bars down the bottom represent students that are at or ahead of progress and the students that are behind. I know that half my class is behind. That might tell me multiple things about my teaching styles, but I can make a decision. I can leave half the class behind. I can go and slow the entire class down to bring those people up to the same level. Or I can look at a buddy system and approaching that, putting the students ahead with the students that are behind. But I can make a pedagogical decision as an educator because I have some of this information. Now, the common question I get asked is, well, how do we get that information? What extra work does the teacher have to do? The concept here is as we put more and more technology into the classroom, we can get insights. If you use an online learning management system now, simply to allow students to turn in their work, this could be a measurement at the point the students turn their work in. It could be, have they consumed the content? It could be whichever level makes sense. But we want to be able to collect that information more seamlessly. We don't want teachers manually filling out forms, then manually entering this data into a system. But again, as a teacher, let's move along and have a look at another view of the world. I am a teacher, and you'll just, sorry for, here I can filter by teacher. Okay, in your deployment, you may have a teacher can only see their information, but a principal could see all teachers. That's customizable. These reports just pivot like an Excel power pivot. But what I can see here is using machine learning, we've identified the probability of a student dropping out or a student being not successful. And what we see here is Aileen Crowley is 98% probable to drop out. Given that my problem statement is my students aren't graduating, that's where I want to focus some attention. But at the same time, over here, I have a list of the interventions that are ranked. So I'm going to choose Aileen. You'll see very quickly the tool pivots around just Aileen. And we've now provided the probability of success of each one of those dropout preventions, each one of those intervention programs. And in this case, the purple bar is alternative schooling, and it suggested that it's 89% likely that that will keep Aileen in school. It's 89% likely that she will be successful at the end of the day or the end of the year. So if you imagine that, I can very quickly give teachers that information. Now that was about students dropping out. It could be about, again, students' grades. It could be at a macro level about that student becoming employable. I happen to have 10,000 nursing students, but I know in my area there's only 1,000 nursing jobs predicted to be coming up. I'm going to have 9,000 wrongly qualified students that were quite successful in their education. How do I, as a government or as an institution, look to make changes to that? So let's move on a little bit more. I said there's different personas here. This is the principal's view of the world. And down here, we give different visualizations. Okay, we just help them understand at the bottom here, it's whether playing sport or not contributes to whether they're likely to drop out or not. You can make decisions there. But the one I find really interesting, and the other thing I show here is, I can look at all of my teachers and how many students they have at risk of dropping out. Maybe I looked at all of my teachers and saw how many students were at risk of not being successful. Does that help me measure my teachers or not? Do I look at where I need to provide professional development or tools or facilities for those teachers? It's quite likely you may find one classroom, one single physical classroom or one campus where there are more students at risk of being unsuccessful. Isn't it an investment on that campus issue? Is your online services versus your in face-to-face services providing a very different view, a very different outcome? Are your online students more or less successful than your face-to-face students? But lastly here, just because the numbers are staggering, it's a little bit scary. This is at the district level. This is the count of students that are likely to drop out. 5,600 students are likely to drop out. We've then taken the information from the financial system to understand the cost of each one of those interventions and applied that here. If I applied the best intervention to each one of those students, what is the cost to me as a schooling district? What is the cost to you as a university? If you associate a cost per head to your students, or a revenue per head to your students that are at risk of dropping out, how much revenue am I at risk of losing? And what is the cost to keep them in? And you can make that decision. Again, this is making improvements with insights. I'm not telling you that a student should be a dollar value, but I'm showing you how you can apply these things in your environment. So with that, let me project again. Sure.
Teacher performance. I mean, what you have shown us is only from the student point of view, right? So how about the teacher's performance? Whether they perform well, they teach well, kind of things.
So the exact same platform could be used to do that. So the view, those views are all customizable. The data inputs are all customizable. What I would see you doing is looking at what, how do you determine a teacher's performance? A very topical conversation around the world, but what is a good teacher or a good educator versus a bad one? What does a successful educator look like? And what are those indicators? Now you may link that directly to the student outcomes. You may link it to the attendance rate of their class. You may link it to the exam results. You could link it to anything. But it will be the same process, the same sort of view. You would just be showing different information there. It could be measured by how many students by teacher are ahead or behind. And that would just be a different visualization on different information there. There is a graph in there. In the interest of time, I'm happy to show you later, where we look at by teacher who has more students at risk of dropping out, by subject, and those sorts of stuff. We can pivot around many different areas there, but it's a very good question. And this talks to teacher capacity building. You may be measuring the professional development that a teacher's done. Where is the teacher up to on their training? As you're trying to drive a transformation through your institution, move to online learning, maybe how many classes are they delivering online versus offline? How much content of theirs is being viewed? Is all the content that they build being, they build 10-minute pieces of content, but no one's watching it past 1 minute. We can analyze that.
Okay, but very interesting. Well, I have known the name, I mean, Office 365 for some time,
mm-hmm.
but never have a chance to try it on.
Okay.
But they say it's good things. I mean, for the blended learning or online learning, mm-hmm. as well. Now, you have shown us for the use or the practice in elementary level or maybe in secondary.
Mm-hmm.
How is the practice in higher education? How many universities have used it so far? Any case, I believe in Indonesia, there is one university, Open University, UTE Kalipak, yeah. Have applied the Office 365, but I'm not very familiar with that. And then, how do you compare Office 365 to the Blackboard, Moodle?
Great question.
Nowadays, I see even Google has introduced Google Classroom. Thank you.
Sure. Look, thank you. Papani's going to take some of that, but I'll probably work backwards from those questions. Because it's a question I love. How does Office 365 compare to Blackboard? How does Office 365 compare to Moodle? I'm going to be very deliberate here. They are different. And they're not competing tools, is my view of the world.
Yeah, so it's different, but we are not competing. Office 365 is not competing with Moodle and not competing with Blackboard. It's complementing, saling melengkapi. So probably, let me get back to the basic. We have talked about Office 365. Anyone in the room does not know about Office 365. What is it? What is in Office 65? It's okay kalau ada yang nggak tahu, angkat tangan aja. Nggak apa-apa, karena saya sering mengalami hal itu ya. Kita ngomong panjang lebar, Office 365. Tapi yang diajak ngomong nggak tahu Office 365 itu apa. So, Office 365 basically itu bukan versi Office ya. Mungkin buat Bapak dan Ibu yang sudah tahu, mohon maaf, tapi saya refresh sekali lagi. Office 365 itu bukan versi Office terbaru, tapi itu adalah Collaboration Suite. Ya, di mana di dalamnya terdapat Office-nya sendiri, ya, ada terdapat Exchange Online, ada terdapat Skype for Business, ada terdapat SharePoint, ya, di mana kita menyediakan kapasitas 1 terabyte untuk semua pengguna, ya, on the cloud, ya. So, ada OneDrive-nya, ya. So, it's a combination of services. So, ini bagian dari cloud offering-nya Microsoft, di mana software-software tersebut kami taruh di cloud, ya, dijadikan satu layanan, Office 365 namanya, yang bisa dipakai untuk education. Dan terus terang memang Office 365 paling relevan, semua fiturnya itu hanya bisa dipakai oleh education. Kalau kita bicara corporate, mungkin mereka nggak perlu Yammer. Ya, sosial media, tadi saya lupa sebutkan. Sosial media semacam Facebook-nya ya, yang personal. Mungkin mereka nggak perlu OneDrive. So, masing-masing orang harus nyimpen file 1 tera buat apaan. Ya, beda sama kita yang di kampus. Ya, semua orang nyimpen konten, semua orang nyimpen materi research, semua orang nyimpen materi-materi yang mereka dapatkan selama pembelajaran. Ya. Mungkin ada company yang hanya pakai email, hanya pakai office-nya sendiri. Nggak perlu pakai Skype for Business. Tapi kita di kampus, semua orang pengen komunikasi antara satu dengan yang lain. Yeah. So, Office 365 itu adalah kumpulan dari berbagai layanan yang dijadikan satu collaboration suite namanya Office 365. Dan itu merupakan bagian dari offering Microsoft di cloud. Jadi kalau kita bicara cloud, itu ada tiga layanan sebetulnya. Ya, infrastructure as a service, jadi kita bicara cuma butuh mesin, kita butuh berapa server, kita butuh storage-nya berapa, memori berapa, network berapa, kemudian kita bicara platform as a service, dan kemudian yang terakhir adalah software as a service. Nah, Office 365 adalah software as a service, ya. Jadi tinggal dipakai, gabungan dari semua feature itu tergabung dalam satu nama, namanya Office 365. Dan kalau kita bicara kampus di Indonesia yang pakai Office 365 sebetulnya udah banyak. Cuman memang ada yang sudah siap untuk dipublikasikan, seperti UT, ya, mereka sudah ada case study yang bisa diakses di website-nya Microsoft. Ada juga yang belum, dan tidak hanya UT kan negeri ya, tidak hanya negeri, swasta juga banyak. Dan Office 365 sebetulnya ada dua versi. Ya, kalau untuk education, ada namanya Office 365 Education, dan ini totally free. Yeah, totally free. Office 365 Education itu totally free. Bisa dideploy langsung tanpa ada tambahan biaya apapun juga. Ya, syaratnya cuma satu, yang institusi yang adopsi itu adalah institusi pendidikan. That's it. Gitu. Dan Office 365 untuk Education itu bisa di-upgrade. Nah, kadang-kadang kita bicara Office ya, Office-nya sendiri, kita mau kerja offline kan. Kita nggak mau selalu tergantung di koneksi. Kalau nggak ada koneksi, kita nggak bisa kerja. Nah, Office-nya itu bisa ditarik offline. Emailnya bisa ditarik offline. Nah, itu ada upgrade-nya dan itu memang berbayar. Gitu. Jadi ada Office 365 for Education itu free, tapi ada upgrade-upgrade yang kita bisa pakai. Gitu. So, kalau di Indonesia udah banyak sekali, Pak. Kita udah deploy millions of accounts untuk Office 365. Ya. Ya, pokoknya selama yang terdaftar dalam domainnya institusi Bapak, itu bisa dapatkan account tersebut secara gratis. Yes, as long as it's part of education institution. Ya. Yeah. And for the upgrades, of course there are costs. Dan sebetulnya untuk cost-nya juga nggak mahal, Pak. Kita ada program namanya Student Use Benefit. Unfortunately, we don't talk about that today, but tapi saya mungkin singgung sedikit aja. Jadi sekarang kita lihat itu adalah number of FTE namanya, full-time employee. Ya, full-time employee-nya yang berbayar, berlangganan setiap tahun, semua muridnya itu gratis. Dan rasionya biasa 1 banding 10. Dalam artian Bapak bayar full-time employee mungkin 3.000 orang, mahasiswanya 30.000 rata-rata, itu gratis, Pak. Gitu. Dan itu bisa dipakai selama mereka masih menjadi anggota aktif dari institusi Bapak. Gitu. Dan satu orang itu bisa sampai 10 device. 5 Windows, 5 Microsoft, 5 non-Microsoft. Jadi punya iPad misalnya, punya MacBook, punya Android tablet, itu bisa pakai account yang sama, bisa pakai office yang sama, free of charge.
Mate, because I'm just conscious of time, I'm being told to wrap up. I'd love to continue this conversation because I think it's a very good one. The one difference I'd like to call out is Office 365 for education and Office as a desktop tool is a productivity suite, content creation tool, storage, online storage, mailing, messaging. Your Moodle or your Blackboard is your learning management system. Okay, and that is, we're not asking you to change that. We have had customers knocking down our door saying, could you please integrate? So we provide integration between Moodle and Office 365. We've done the development and provided those open source tools to do that integration. What that means is a teacher could use PowerPoint or Office Mix to create content. They could use OneNote to create curriculum. They could use all of those tools and we could have the teaching learning discussion, which I think the next section will cover a little more of. And then from within Moodle, they can integrate that content. Insert content, Office Mix, done, from within the one interface, using the one identity. I log into Moodle with my O365 login, so same identity. It provides that user experience. You can leverage the free online storage. So we're doing a lot of work there, and we're continually developing that. But it's absolutely, I appreciate the question, possibly where it's coming from as well, that we are not a learning management system. We don't have the IP in that space, the intellectual property at that point in time, and we're not asking you to replace those. You can also deploy those learning management systems in Azure to give you that cloud scalability, and some of those reference sites are around that.
Yeah, and we have universities that building their own LMS and putting that on Azure, integrated with Office 365. So with the same account, the teacher, the student can log in and log out for all the services.
Which is the same account they can now log into their machine with.
Yeah.
So it's helping you provide that service on any of their devices. So I just wanted to quickly wrap up the case study. Sorry, I think this is important to give context. I often get people saying to me, but how did you make those predictions? Where did all the information come from and those sorts of things? This use case we spoke of in Tacoma, they took this was the information they used. They took historical performance, that's very important still, from their student management system. Student demographic and census information. They had some of this, the government provided some of it, they had access to this information. And some of this can be broad generalizations versus specific student individual-based data. Diagnostic information. They took disciplinary history, extracurricular, and health activity. All of these were indicators as to whether that student was likely to be successful or not. They then used the number one feature in any business intelligence tool, export to Excel. Okay, but what we can now do within Excel, you can do what's known as a power query. Excel can take the information through connectors, we provide a lot of those directly, and take them out of these different sources of information. You can manipulate the data and do that real time. Okay, you can take two tables and combine them. That sort of thing can just be like an old macro. You can now do that real time. Pull that information together, and then it was pushed into our machine learning platform. And this is where we spoke about the data could remain on premise. You could just use our machine learning platform in Azure. And this is where we get that difference between we use a bit of machine learning, a bit of our database tools, a bit of our storage, a bit of our BI tools to bring together something relevant. Machine learning alone is not going to give you what you want to do, and you can do this without machine learning, depending on how far you want it to be prescriptive with your actions. And then we pushed it back into a dashboard. Some of those dashboards were just reports with visualizations. Some were outputs from machine learning. Okay, but we can... I suggest to a lot of customers looking to embrace this, define a problem statement. What is it that you want to fix or improve or change? Let's look at what data we can connect to, and let's run it through and see what we can uncover there. That's a really good proof of concept. The next stage is then, do I want to answer more questions or do I want to take more data? And your proof of concept, part of that is not just did the technology work and did it connect, it's did I make a meaningful change to the outcome that I wanted to? As I said, in Tacoma, they went from 50% graduation rate to 80% graduation rate. They very quickly said, yes, we want to explore solving more problems. And we can actually test the machine learning models to see how accurate they are. Okay, we build the models and do the learning on some data. We then test that against other data and other records. And we determine, in this case, the model was 85% accurate. So I might pause and leave it there. We have another session later today, more around the detail of our analytics platform and tools. But I'll hand back over to Puck Benny if there's no more questions. I think our next session is on Anywhere, Anytime Learning, which will take us further into the tools in the Office 365 components. Thank you.